The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day, so why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey everyone, welcome to another incredible show on Transforming Health. Why are so many people sailing at half-mast these days? And worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition. It's a condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately for too many of them, they don't know any other way to be. Well, hopefully not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. Here's a question for you. Where are all the happy people? Where did they go? I mean, you look around you these days, nobody seems to smile anymore. And that one individual that does smile brightens up an entire room. It's so easy to do. I mean, you know, it's like that one bad apple spoils a whole bunch. Well, it's the other way around. That one great apple can make all the other ones look at least that much better. You know, these days we face very different threats than the threats we faced thousands of years ago. The only problem is we're living in the same body that our prehistoric forefathers lived in. However, obviously we're living in a very different world today. Unfortunately, nobody told our brains that we're living in this different world. I want you to imagine this scenario for a second. I want you to imagine you're stuck in one of the worst traffic jams. It's one of the hottest days of the year, and well, you don't have air conditioning. The driver next to you is in a convertible with the loudest stereo you've ever heard, and it's playing the kind of music you really don't like very much. Needless to say, you're going to get upset. You know, we can all relate to that kind of a scenario, but whether you're in prehistoric times running from a predator or in the here and now stuck in something like a traffic jam, what you have to understand is your body is going to react physiologically to the situation in the exact same way. Stress causes a massive release of these stress hormones, which cause an immediate drainage of your energy reserves. The only problem is that most of this energy is coming from stored sugar that's actually taken from your very own body, especially your liver and your muscle tissue. You see, in times of stress, the body has a very hard time letting go of its fat reserves. And since stored fat has been and always will be eminently important for survival, that's one of the main reasons why we're in the situation that we're in nowadays. And by the way, what a lot of people really don't understand is there is a lot of research that backs up the fact that when we are under this undue, relentless stress, we also have a much higher appetite because we're literally draining various chemicals that are created in the brain that are designed to actually balance our moods. When those chemicals are low, the body reaches out and actually requires more of those nutrients in order to keep that balance. And this is one of the reasons why we talk about comfort foods. We're going to get into all of that today, how stress affects obesity, how stress affects our health, how stress affects really our heart. There's a lot of people that have cardiovascular complications today. Over 600,000 people die every single year because of these cardiovascular complications, and many, many, many of them, the great majority of them, could be helped if we were just to get our stress response in order. Today's guest is an expert in stress management and is often referred to as the Patch Adams of psychology and the Will Rogers of the 21st century. His research and training in the burgeoning field of developing humor, fun, and laughter as the most important antidotes to stress has been featured in numerous publications, including USA and Today. He's also a clinical and sports psychologist who has been recognized with diplomats from the American Academy of Behavioral Medicine, the Society of Police and Criminal Psychology, and the National Institute of Sports Professionals. He's also been honored with a certification in clinical hypnosis from the American Academy of Clinical Hypnosis. He's also a friend of mine. Please welcome back to the show the one and only Dr. Jack Singer. Dr. Singer, how are you feeling today?
Well, after that introduction, Brad, how could I not be feeling on top of the world? That's great.
Well,
one of the great introductions of all time. Sounds like I wrote it myself. In any case,
you could have. But
yes, I might
actually
have.
It would have been nicer if you did, because it would have taken a little bit of stress away from me.
Right.
And obviously we've got a lot to talk about, so we're going to dive right in. And I often call chronic stress the invisible saboteur. I wrote a book with an anti-aging researcher from NASA a few years ago, Dr. Michael Schmidt, and we dedicated an entire chapter in this book called BioAge to stress and how stress prematurely ages the body. But, you know, very few people actually know that they're actually experiencing the stress. So my question to you is, how much of a role in modern disease do you think this unrelenting stress is actually playing in this disease?
Well, there's a ton of research, Brad, that shows that in the eight major diseases that are the most life-threatening, that stress is a major component. And the interesting thing is that stress is something we can control. It doesn't have to control us. And, for example, events that take place in our lives, like the example you gave in the setup of being stuck in traffic on a hot day and music is playing, that's an event. That doesn't cause stress. What causes stress, Brad, is our interpretation of the event.
Right.
What we say to ourselves about the event. Because a person could be in that situation and say, you know, there's nothing I can do about the traffic. I'm going to use this time to focus on a talk I'm going to have to give tomorrow and spend my time doing that. And that person won't be under stress. But if the person in the same situation says, I can't believe I'm stuck here on this hot day and that person is playing that music and I'll never get to my appointment, that person is producing stress with the exact same event. So whether we suffer from stress or not, it depends on how we interpret and what we do with the events that take place in our lives, not the events themselves.
So Dr. Singer, I mean, obviously, that's common sense, and yet still the majority of us allow stress to get the better of us. I mean, I've been guilty of this many times myself. I've done lectures on stress, and yet I find myself, sometimes just overreacting to almost the smallest things. Why do you think that is happening more and more in our society? Why do you think we can't get a control over our perceptions then?
Well, I think part of the problem is the society that we live in these days is one where we're looking for answers immediately. We're impatient. There's a lot of competition. We're worried about global concerns that we didn't worry about before, like terrorism and when's the next major event going to take place. We're worried about the economy and what's going to happen. So we tend to be focused on so many things we're worried about instead of being focused on well-being and taking care of ourselves and doing the things we need to so that we can manage any stressors that come our way in a more effective way. You referred, Brad, earlier to the prehistoric days when we had the same fight, flight, or freeze systems built into us to deal with predators. And now being stuck in traffic is interpreted by people in their brains the same as if someone was pointing a gun at them, and they react the same way with the fight, flight, and freeze response. So we're overreacting to things. This is one way in which animals kind of have an advantage over us, because if a zebra's on the Serengeti Plains and is being stalked by a lion, it goes into the fight, flight, or freeze and hopefully escapes the predator and then goes back about its business of grazing. But with people, we tend to worry all day about things. What about this? This didn't happen the way I wanted it to. And we constantly turn on that system, fight, flight, or freeze because our brain thinks that we're being threatened. And the sad thing is that every time you turn the system on, you're compromising your immune system, as you know, Brad.
Because right.
The last thing that the body needs to be doing is worrying about the immune system if it's trying to escape from an immediate danger. So,
You know, Dr. Singer, what's amazing about what you just said when we talk about, you know, the prehistoric times, and we are those people. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that if you were to speak to the average geneticist, they would tell us that, you know, it can take up to 100,000 years to make any significant genetic changes in our genome. And yet, you know, we've really only been around for a blip in that biochemistry. So we haven't obviously given enough time for us to be able to adapt to the major stressors that we're in nowadays, but aren't we almost designed, in a sense, to think a little more negatively? Because didn't that kind of serve us better in those times when, you know, we didn't have, everything wasn't as rosy as it is now? I mean, didn't we have to be a lot more vigilant going back even a few thousand years ago?
Yes, we did, because the default position, if you want to use a computer term, the default position is to be anxious so you'd be more aware of danger. So people would tend to worry because that served a purpose. It made them more vigilant. The side effect, of course, in modern day is that we worry all the time about insignificant things, and we take this much too far. Fortunately, we can learn techniques and practice techniques to stop doing that, and so we do have control over that.
Okay, and we're obviously going to be talking about that when we come back from this next break. And one of the questions I think a lot of people are really confused about is, you know, you hear about these people that win the lottery. They win a lot of money, and all of a sudden they have a heart attack. And, you know, most people would say, well, hey, I bring that stress on. I want that kind of stress in my life. But what is the difference between the good stress as someone, you know, let's say winning the lottery, and bad stress where someone is in something like a traffic jam and their health is actually being affected by it? I mean, is there really a difference between good and bad stress in some individuals?
Well, not really, because the stress releases the same hormones whether it's good or bad. The key is if we're going to interpret situations as stressful. You know, Hans Seeley, who was the father of stress research, called it eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. That was the good stress. But we now know that if certain events take place in our lives, Brad, where it forces us to make changes, that those changes are stressful, even if they're positive events like winning a lottery or going on a vacation. So anytime you make a change in your life, it adds stress to your life unless you deal with it appropriately. And the key there is to stretch out changes as far as you can so that you don't make too many of them in a short period of time, say over the period of 6 months to a year.
You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. My guest today is the one and only psychologist extraordinaire, Dr. Jack Singer. We're talking about all sorts of things, stress, how stress affects the aging process, how stress causes us not only to get fat, but to stay fat. We're going to be talking about all of that, and really, what is stress? As soon as we come back, we'll talk about, you know, what is that physiological thing that happens that's so detrimental to us, and what can we do about it? We'll get into some major tips a little later in the show. Get your pen, get your pad of paper out. You are going to want to take notes. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way, with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Transforming Health. We're talking about a very important topic today, which is stress, but most importantly, what can you do about it? I call it the invisible saboteur because it does sabotage our health, and at the same time, many of us don't realize that we're experiencing it. It's almost like obesity nowadays. I mean, you know, especially in the United States, there have been polls that have been taken where the average obese individual doesn't even know they're obese because they consider themselves as normal because the majority of the population now, unfortunately, carry way too much excess body fat on their frame. So when we constantly stress over things, we end up elevating these very powerful stress hormones. One of them is called cortisol. We're going to talk about that next. And what we have to understand is that perception equals reality in the face of danger. Danger is a fancy word for stress. And during stress, cortisol can easily become more important to your body than other hormones. It's actually produced along the same pathway as your sex hormones. And one of the things it does is it robs these sex hormones, and it robs the body of the very substances that are needed to keep those hormones in abundance. For example, I talk about this in my book, Beer Belly Blues, where cortisol can compete with hormones like testosterone, and this is one of the reasons why our libido is almost non-existent during times of excess stress. And testosterone is needed for the repair and the replacement of muscle tissue, not just in a man's body, but in a woman's body as well. And in case you're wondering why this is so important, your muscle tissue controls to a large extent the rate of your overall metabolism, and that's one of the reasons why your metabolism declines through age, because of the loss of lean body mass. I mean, women lose anywhere from one-third to one-half of their lean body mass. Men can easily lose a quarter of their lean body mass. So your metabolism is naturally going to slow down when that happens. Today on Transforming Health, my guest is a sought-after author, media personality. He's appeared frequently on MSNBC, CNN, Fox, ESPN, and numerous radio talk shows throughout the United States and Canada. He's also been a repeat guest on the Glenn Beck Show on CNN. He ranks amongst the world's leaders in developing strategies for eliminating stress and rejuvenating organizations and their greatest assets. You guessed it, their employees. Please welcome back clinical psychologist Dr. Jack Singer. Dr. Singer, let's talk about the stress response before we get into what to do about it. What is it exactly? What's taking place in the body when we are sitting in that traffic jam and we start to allow ourselves to get out of control? Why are we sweating? Why are we getting nervous? Why are these things happening?
Well, there are a lot of hormones, Brad, that are elevated during a stress response. And recall that I said a stress response is any response we make to an environmental situation that leads us to thinking negatively and bracing ourselves for a problem, and that leads to a stress response. And three of the main hormones that are affected are norepinephrine, epinephrine, and cortisol. Norepinephrine and epinephrine are adrenaline, and in response to a physical stressor, such as extremes in temperature or exercise or things like that, then there's an increase in norepinephrine. In addition, there's a small increase in epinephrine. And in response to a psychological stressor, there's also an increase in this chemical you just mentioned called cortisol. And cortisol acts in the preparation for vigorous physical activity, but unfortunately, as you also mentioned, one of its functions is to break down lean tissue for conversion to sugar as an additional source of energy. So it blocks the removal of certain acids in the bloodstream, and when it's elevated in the blood for prolonged periods of time, it could even cause ulcerations in the lining of the stomach and things of that nature. So increased cortisol secretion leads to higher levels of fatty acids in the blood, a breakdown of lean tissue, a lot of problems that we don't really want to have. And yet we are in charge of whether that cortisol will be secreted or not because of how we interpret the situation that we find ourselves in.
Okay, so once again, easier said than done. We understand that we should not stress. I think if you asked anybody off the street, they would say, oh, absolutely, you know, I understand stress is not good for you. Maybe I can't give you a biochemical reason for it, but people understand that. So what can we do about it? Where do we start? And, you know, is it first of all maybe recognizing common triggers that are taking place individually?
Yeah, it's recognizing triggers in our thinking habits. What we say to ourselves about a potential stressor or a stressful situation, what we say to ourselves, Brad, is the trigger that will determine whether or not we will react with a stress response or not. So let me give an example. You're stuck in traffic, and if you say to yourself, I will not make my appointment, and that person's going to be irritated at me and think that I'm not conscientious enough to leave on time to get there on time, then you will trigger a stress response because of fear of some consequence that's going to be negative. And that leads the cortisol to secrete and everything else because your brain thinks there's an emergency. On the other hand, if you say to yourself, look, I can't do anything about the traffic, I will explain when I get there that there was an accident and it was unforeseen, that person will understand. The probability of that person really being angry at me under these circumstances is pretty small. So let's just take a deep breath, turn on some relaxing music, and I'll get there when I get there. So when people start taking control of their thinking, when they start asking themselves key questions like, what is the real probability that the thing I'm worried about is going to happen here, instead of me just reading people's minds or assuming that people are going to be upset with me, what is the real probability of that? When you start to break it down that way, Brad, you start to eradicate those triggers that used to lead to these habitual stress responses.
So it's basically just being more rational with yourself, in a sense, isn't it?
It is. It's to think rationally instead of overreacting, which most people do by habit. And any habit can be broken down in about 21 days if you're conscientious about it and practice it every day, breaking it down. And that's, frankly, what I do with most of my clients, is have them recognize the thinking habits that have gotten them in trouble and teach them how to break them down and change them.
So let's talk about that. What can we do? Okay, so we understand that we are creating these triggers within ourselves. We're thinking negatively, which is creating this overreaction of all of these caustic chemicals within our system. And we'll talk about those a little later as well, like how they affect things like sleep, because that's, you know, obviously intricately linked with our overall health. But where do we start? It's one thing understanding there's a problem, admitting there's a problem, but then, you know, how do we do that? 21 days, that can seem pretty daunting for the average person.
Well, the first thing that one can do is what I call it my 5-step mental toughness program. And it's very simple. And all you have to do is practice it every day, and it takes less than 5 minutes. So while you think 21 days may be daunting, 5 minutes a day isn't too daunting, is it, Brad?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so here's the 5-step mental toughness program. So I want all of your listeners to have their pencil sharp and write this down. Make sure you carry around with you a rubber band, the fat kind that in the States comes in the mail. I don't know if they put it in the mail in Canada, but in the States, these fat rubber bands come wrapped around your mail frequently, and those are good rubber bands to carry around with you. They don't fit tightly on the wrist, and they're very strong. And so step one is when you recognize that you're beginning to think negatively, one of those old trigger kinds of thoughts, the very first thing is to snap the rubber band on your wrist. That will get your attention if you snap it hard enough, and it will automatically stop the negative thought. Step two is to take what we call a nice, deep, centering breath. And a centering breath, Brad, is breathing in through your nose to the count of 6, holding it for a couple of seconds, and then breathing out through your mouth to the count of seven. If you do that a couple of times, it forces you to breathe through your diaphragm, which is the most calming, relaxing kind of breathing there is. So step one, snap the rubber band to stop the thought. Step two, take a deep centering breath or two. And then step three is challenge the thought. Where's the evidence that I have to support this fear that I have of what's going to happen? What is the exact probability that this will happen? Do I really have any history of this happening or not? What other possibilities are there? Will the person be understanding? For example, I'll give you a great example. I used to have a TV show when I lived in Las Vegas, and the TV show was live. And if I got stuck in the traffic on the way to the TV show, it would be easy for me to say to myself, oh, my gosh, this is a live show. What if I'm not there? That could set off panic and stress immediately. But if there was an accident on the freeway and I got stuck in the traffic, I would frequently snap the rubber band, take a deep breath, and the next thing I would say is, what's the most likely thing to happen if I don't show up on time? The answer is the weatherman will continue to talk.
Exactly.
And he'll make jokes. He's a funny weatherman. And they'll say, Dr. Jack must be in traffic, and this has happened before. And they'll sort of make fun of it. And I will get there before the show is over, and we'll make fun of it, and we'll have a joke about it, and I'll talk to people about the stress that could have been produced, and I'll have a learning experience.
Life goes on.
Right.
Yeah. So number four.
So the third thing is to challenge the thought. The fourth thing is to give yourself an identity statement, which really is a self-esteem building statement about who you are. I'm a good person. I'm conscientious. I try to do my best, whatever the case may be. If you're an athlete, you know, I have practiced for years to be in this elite position. My body's ready to do it. I just need to give it permission. So you're giving yourself an identity statement, which brings you back to the reality of all the positive things in your life instead of this little situation you're in right now that could derail you. And the fifth step is to finish it off with another centering breath. So you're taking another deep centering breath to calm yourself down. Now, that whole mental process takes maybe 5 or 6 minutes. If you practice that every day, you will eventually learn how to do this automatically, and that will go a long way toward eradicating the triggers that used to lead to a stress response in various situations.
You know, really, really interesting advice, and I just want to repeat these really quickly, and then we're going to go out for the break, come back, and just continue this incredible discussion. The five steps: rubber band, carry it around, snap it when there's a negative thought that takes place. Number two, breathe deeply through the diaphragm, through the nose, exhale through the mouth, one or two breaths. Number three, challenge the thought. Number four, give yourself an identity statement, like, I am great, this is absolutely ridiculous what's happening, bring you back to reality. And number five, go right back to the one or two deep breaths again. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. We are talking to the one and only Dr. Jack Singer today about stress. We're going to get right into sleep and obesity. How does stress affect your inability to get rid of that spare tire? You are going to be amazed by some of this information. We will be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential?
There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health. When you have a guest like the one I have today, the show just absolutely flies by. If you haven't done so already, please go on to Facebook, Transforming Health with Brad King. Once again, Facebook, Transforming Health with Brad King. Join me on that site, and we give away all sorts of incredible gifts, and at the same time, we'll make you aware of who is going to be coming on the show. You can ask questions on there. Just very, very interactive. Mark Twain had a phenomenal saying that pretty much summed up the focus of today's show. I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. See, the truth is perception equals reality when it comes to our stress response. So whether you're being chased by a predator that is trying its darndest to make you its lunch, or you were just cut off by a crazy driver on your way to work, the end result is the same. There's a stress response that's created, and in the process, bits and pieces of your body are literally broken down to facilitate that stress response. I mean, there's no easier way to say it. Contending with chronic stress at work or at home is really an all too familiar scenario for many of us these days, and combine this with the fact that you have a diet of stress-producing food, a lack of exercise, and we can unfortunately find ourselves on a sure path to premature aging. Of course, stress is an unavoidable feature of daily life, and of course, not all stress is necessarily bad. However, the physiological effects of unremitting negative stress can be devastating to the goal of living a long, healthy, and a lean life. Here are the cold, hard facts that you have to understand. Continuous negative stress has been linked to North America's five leading causes of death: heart disease, cancer, lung disease, accidents, and cirrhosis of the liver. Author and stress researcher Dr. Kenneth Peltier has concluded that in America, up to 90% of all illness is linked to stress, and that close to 90% of all visits to the doctor are for stress and anxiety-related concerns. Many other researchers in this field have emphasized that the pervasive problems with stress can create these very scenarios, many of them very negative. For instance, chronic stress has been shown to have a powerful impact on our emotional, physical, and material well-being by negatively affecting our health, our job, our finances, and of course even our relationships. Stress costs North American industry more than $300 billion each year in absenteeism, reduced productivity, stress-related accidents, and workers' compensation benefits. Don't you think it's time we got a handle on the devastating stranglehold stress has on us? Well, today on Transforming Health, stress, the invisible saboteur, and how to stop it from ruining your life once and for all. Once again, our guest is a clinical and sports psychologist who has been recognized with diplomats from the American Academy of Behavioral Medicine, the Society of Police and Criminal Psychology, and the National Institute of Sports Professionals. He's also been honored with a certification in clinical hypnosis from the American Academy of Clinical Hypnosis. Please welcome back Dr. Jack Springer. Dr. Singer, let's talk about the workplace-related problems that stress actually creates, because this is one of your areas of expertise. I mean, large organizations bring you in to deal with these kind of situations. So we know that workplace stress leads to stress-related illness that decreases productivity and increases absenteeism, which can greatly impact a company's bottom line. So what do you show companies, how do you show them how to deal with this stress and how to help these employees better manage the stress, especially in the workplace?
Well, that's a really a wonderful, wonderful question, Brad, because it's so often it's ignored in the workplace. You know, the American Psychological Association for the last few years has recognized companies across the country that submit papers to them talking about how their workplace is one that benefits employees, but all too few of these companies really are there. So the American Psychological Association is trying to recognize the psychologically healthy workplace, and that includes a lot of things. It includes having flexible time situations so that working women, for example, can flex their time around when they have to be home for the children and work at different hours. It includes taking consideration of worker needs and having meetings on a regular basis with employees on all levels so that they can verbalize their concerns. It includes something that I like to bring into companies, which is having wellness and well-being centers right on the face of the company itself, not as part of sometimes the medical office. But I go into companies frequently and do brown bag wellness lunches and things of that nature where we talk about stress mastery, or I teach people relaxation skills or things of that nature. It involves morale boosting and building techniques with people so that you're constantly recognizing people for what they do instead of just taking for granted what they're being paid for, so you don't have to recognize them. So there's a whole burgeoning field of how do you enhance the working life of someone, whether they're on the executive level or on the assembly line, so that their life will be much less stressful. You know, sadly, the research in the United States in the last few years in industry has showed that less than half of all workers would choose the same job if they had a chance to do it over again, and they feel trapped in their jobs because of the stress.
And I was just going to say that, you know, there's a saying that you're well aware of and I'm well aware of, that if you choose a job or a profession that you absolutely love, you never have to work a day in your life. And I know you love what you do, I love what I do, but as you mentioned, over half, it's probably a lot higher than that, but statistically over half the population does not love what they do. So they create that undue stress within themselves just getting up in the morning and going, good God, I've got to go to work again. How can we change that? I mean, without, you know, you have a person that has a family, has bills to pay, they can't necessarily get out of exactly what they're doing right now. How do you help those individuals deal with their life when every day is a hassle just getting up and going to work?
Well, that's a great, great question, as all of your questions are, Brad. What I recommend is there are five elements to well-being, and research has substantiated this. There are five essential elements to well-being, and having a job that you love is only one of the five. So if you can't do anything about that and you're sort of trapped in the job, we need to focus on the other four areas where you can enhance your well-being. So if you'd like, I'd like to list what those
areas
are. Okay. Having strong relationships and love in your life, which we call social well-being, is extremely important. We find that depression and anxiety raises dramatically with people who are divorced and not in a relationship. So having strong relationships, even friendships, not necessarily a spouse, and having some people in your life you love, family and so forth, is very important for your social well-being. Financial well-being is important. That's an element that's important. So you need to effectively manage your economic life, and there are experts who can help you do that. Another element is your physical well-being. If you have good health and enough energy to get things done on a daily basis, and you've built exercise into your life and walks, I'm fortunate to live near the ocean, and my wife and I love to walk near the ocean every day. You can do things for physical well-being.
And it's a release as well, Dr. Singer, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
We build up these stress hormones during the day, and there's nowhere to go. Like, they have nowhere to go. It's not like we are running or fighting as we're designed to do with stress.
Right.
So isn't physical activity, isn't that our outlet to get rid, to dissipate
absolutely.
Those excess stress
absolutely.
Hormones?
Absolutely. It cleanses the system. And you don't have to be a runner or a jogger. You can swim. You know, you can go for a brisk walk. There are so many things you can do to have that release, as you say. Go enjoy nature somewhere. Go into the woods. You know, do things of that nature. Bring some
sure.
soothing music with you and so forth that you can play on. And now people play music on iPods and things. Do that. And the fifth element is a sense of engagement with your community, community well-being. Get involved. Volunteer. There's a lot of research that shows that people who volunteer and give of themselves to others are much more mentally healthy, and they reduce their own stress.
Excellent. Excellent tips. So number one, job. Number two, develop strong relationships. Number three, get your financial well-being in check. Number four, do some sort of physical activity, but do something you love so that you'll do it on a regular basis. And five, your sense of engagement, volunteering, doing things with community. Love all of those. Let me ask you this, because, you know, we're talking about ways mentally that we can deal with the excess stress in our lives, but what about one of the major problems, in my opinion, is the overindulgence in caffeinated beverages? Why don't you talk about that for a second and how that impacts our stress response?
Well, first of all, we know now that caffeine, and it's not only in beverages, chocolate, for example, is loaded with caffeine. Caffeine enhances anxiety. So when I have someone who comes to see me who's having an anxiety disorder or an anxiety response or panic disorder, things of that nature, the very first question I ask is, how much caffeine do you consume? And in 90% of the cases, it's an overabundance of caffeine. So the first thing we do is remove that from the diet. And that's critical. I don't know the exact physiological reasons for it. You'd probably be better versed than I would. But we know that caffeine raises anxiety dramatically. So avoid caffeinated products. And by the way, avoid products that are carbonated as well. That breaks down bones.
Right, and I think the interesting thing about the caffeine is people have this misperception that caffeine gives them energy, because a lot of people don't have enough energy to begin with nowadays, so they go and buy their energy at their local Java Hut,
right.
And all caffeine does is it literally takes out a loan of energy from your very own system. It goes to this bank called your adrenal system and says, hey, I need a loan, I have no energy, give me some energy, and that energy is in the form of stress hormones. So you're only elevating them that much more, which is obviously exacerbating the problem. According to a lot of research, depression aggravates, you know, the course of multiple cardiovascular conditions within our body. And as you know, and you talk about this, a lot of cardiovascular complications are associated with stress. So my question to you is, you know, do you think depression and stress are intricately linked? And if so, when excess stress is eliminated, shouldn't depression be eliminated as well?
Oh, there's no question. They're intricately linked. If I see a person who's depressed, they're always under stress. I can't think of a case of depression without stress being a component. On the other hand, someone can be stressed without being depressed. They can be anxious and stressed. They can have other diagnoses. But depression, you know, again, depression, unless it's strictly caused by a chemical imbalance, which is a rare form of depression, most of them are caused by the way we interpret a situation, and that interpretation leads to depression. So depression,
right.
again, can be affected by our thinking the same way that all stress can. And
yes, yeah.
they are linked. For example, you take someone's had a cardiac event, and now they have to go into rehab, and they start to think in terms of, my body let me down. I'm vulnerable. I never thought I was vulnerable. I could die. What if this happens? What if that happens? That person will spiral into a major depression, which then triggers the stress response again, So it's a cycle of bad news that's happening.
Absolutely. And also, depression is directly linked to obesity, and we'll talk about that when we get back, and how obesity is affected by stress. Because believe you me, over 50% of people within North America, if they had their stress levels in check, they probably would not suffer nearly to the degree of excess body fat accumulation that they do. We'll be right back with the final segment of Transforming Health with Brad King and my guest today, super psychologist Dr. Jack Singer. Don't go anywhere.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the final segment of Transforming Health today. Almost anyone would agree that chronic stress ages people. The fact remains that until recently, longevity scientists could only theorize as to why. Well, the majority of our cells have a finite number of times that they're able to actually divide. And every time a cell divides, they lose a very small piece of DNA. It's actually called a telomere. And it's believed that the shortening of these telomeres, which is almost like a shoelace, or the cap at the end of the shoelace, which keeps getting shorter, to a significant degree, that little shoelace, that telomere, is responsible for the overall aging process itself. Now, the amazing thing about this was in 2004, researchers from the University of California discovered that women who experience the highest levels of perceived stress have these telomeres that are much shorter than women who experience low stress. And the researchers concluded that these shortened telomeres were equivalent to at least one decade of additional aging. Please welcome back clinical and sports psychologist and someone who is ranked among the world's leaders in developing strategies for eliminating stress, Dr. Jack Singer. Dr. Singer, you know, very interesting statistic that I just spoke about there, showing how stress, you know, really chemically alters the way the body ages and prematurely ages us. That's been proven now. But let's talk about, just for a second, stress during pregnancy, because I don't think a lot of women are really or really understand the implications of allowing themselves to get stressed out when they're actually carrying a child. So can you touch on this?
Yeah, very much so, because, you know, the hormones are transferred to the fetus. And it's interesting. In my practice and in practices in general, when we treat children, about 80% of the children that we see are adopted. Now, think about that. 80% of the children we see are adopted children many of which are brought to us with attention deficit disorders, hyperactivity disorders, and learning disabilities. Now, the theory for that is that when a woman is pregnant and knows she cannot keep that child, she goes through a lot of stress, which is transferred to the child, and the thought is that some of that is causing these disorders in the fetus.
Wow.
Fascinating research on
that. Well, it is, you know, and just building upon that, and, you know, I know you've probably done this in a lot of your research, but one of the textbooks on stress physiology talks about something called stress dwarfism, where children who are under a great deal of stress before they go through puberty, what ends up happening to some of these children is they actually stop producing human growth hormone. And because they stop producing human growth hormone, they actually stop growing, and their growth is greatly, greatly stunted, and they've actually shown that these children, when they're actually given love again within their lives, the human growth hormone kicks in again, and these children will start growing. And, you know, it really depends about, obviously, how long that stress or has been in place, because some of these children will be a lot shorter than they really should be. But if it's caught early enough, then these children will grow to, you know, regular height, so to speak. So, you know, it just goes to show emotions. It just goes to show how important a touch can be within our lives and how important love and relationships really is.
Well, that's true, and that also speaks to the resilience of the human body, and I'll give you another facet of that. We now know that people with the exact same cancer diagnoses, for example, let's say breast cancer patients, those who have hope that they will recover versus those who give up hope with the exact same prognosis, the ones with hope live 7 years longer than the ones without hope.
Wow.
So we know that the way you think and what you say to yourself and optimism and things of that nature can absolutely impact your health.
Right. Now, let's talk about obesity, because obviously, you know, close to 3/4 of the population in the U.S., about 60% of the population in Canada are suffering from what I call overfatness. I mean, it sounds funny, but I don't think we're overweight, because we need to differentiate where weight is on the body. But the abdominal area contains more of these cortisol receptors than most other areas of the body, which is why fat is deposited there much easier when you're under stress. But let's just talk about this. I want to get some of your take, some of your takes on stress and how it really affects our body very negatively when we want to get rid of fat.
Well, you know, from a physiological standpoint, again, when a person's under stress, they're triggering the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight, flight, or freeze nervous system. And if you think about it prehistorically and genetically, if the brain thinks that you're being threatened, it wants to preserve all fat stores and keep your weight as much as possible to protect you. So we're fighting ourselves when we're under stress if we want to lose weight.
Right.
And that's a big problem. And so, again, stress is the culprit here. And once you take care of the stress, it's much easier to maintain your weight. Your appetite will diminish and things of that nature. I think the other problem is that those of us who are under stress eat too fast. We're impatient. We tend to want to hurry up. And, of course, people who eat rapidly consume many more calories before their brain tells them they're full than people who eat slowly. So we've got a lot of these dynamics working against us, you know, in trying to lose weight.
And let's talk, you know, and also diet. I mean, people have to make more of a connection between diet and stress, because there's, you know, stress can be brought in through the wrong types of foods as well, and that's, you know, a biochemical and physiological stress that the body has to deal with. You know, never mind the psychology of dealing with your perception of your reality. You know, what's your take on a healthy diet and how that can help with stress?
Well, I think when people are stressed and, again, impatient, they're looking for a quick fix to make them feel good. And in doing that, they want something rapid. So they tend to go for fast foods or candy or something that'll make them feel good instantly.
Right.
And so one of the things that I teach people when they're trying to maintain their weight or lose weight is to not have those things available. Make yourself go through more work in order to provide that food, so that if nothing else, you have more time to think about what you're doing rather than shoving it in your mouth and then saying, why did I do that?
Well, you know, and what's interesting is about 10 years ago, I isolated a protein that we put out right now, which is called a high alpha whey protein. And alpha stands for alpha-lactalbumin, which is the premier protein found in mother's breast milk. And it turns out that what this protein does is it delivers a great deal of an amino acid called tryptophan to the brain, more so than any other protein that's ever been discovered. And it's that tryptophan that allows people to deal with stress, you know, much more effectively. There's 3 human clinical studies on that, and also helps people sleep more effectively, because when we have high levels of the stress hormone cortisol, the body goes after nitrogen. It takes things away from protein, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, we shrink. We actually lose the most important weight on the body, which is actually the lean body mass. But we also don't sleep very well, and I want you to touch on that. I mean, obviously, if people aren't getting a good night's sleep, aren't they naturally going to be more stressed out?
Yeah, it's a circle again. The reason they're not getting sleep is because they're worrying. And people who go to sleep or try to fall asleep with something on their mind that they haven't accomplished or something they're worried about happening the next day not only don't fall asleep very well, but they usually are startled awake around 3 in the morning. And the theory for that is that the your natural defenses kind of disappear while you're sleeping, so that things you're worried about that haven't been resolved kind of break through that natural defense and startle you into awakening.
Absolutely. And, you know, even mild sleep deprivation, losing even one night of sleep, has been shown to actually cause these very drastic hormonal changes in the body that are responsible for controlling your appetite, your food intake, and really the amount of calories that you're able to burn every day. So I guess, obviously, the moral of today's story is get your stress levels in check. Dr. Singer, how can people find out more about what you do in your programs?
Well, they can go to one of, I have several websites. One of them is funspeaker.com, www.funspeaker, because I make all of my presentations fun so that people are having a good time while they're learning. Or they can go to drjacksinger.com. Or they can call me on an 800 number, at least it works in the States, and that's 800-497-9880. Or my local number in California is 949-481-5660.
My guest today has been the one and only Dr. Jack Singer. Dr. Singer, thank you so much once again for being my guest, one of my favorite guests. And please do come back on the show and keep up your incredible work.
Anytime, Brad. I'll always happy to do it.
Thank you. Go out there, have yourself an unbelievable week. We'll come back next week with another incredible show. You've been listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, and thank you very much for your support. It is appreciated.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.